He or she is recognized.
Kind to have joined all of us today. That's Dr. Trupti Mehta. She is a pathologist. She's done her MD pathology from KM Hospital, and she was an associate professor in pathology at Sion Hospital. And she now helps with the administrative work at the hospital for women's care. And her good husband, Dr. Ajay Mehta, is a practitioner and has a private nursing home. She's also joined by her daughter today. So we are really very grateful that you've come. And there are a few other guests who would be coming later and joining us. So the lecture will be in English. But there is those who would desire to hear in Hindi. Jinko Hindi mein anuvad chahiye, woh piche hai. So, agar kisi ko Hindi mein sunna hai class, to Temple Hall mein piche ki taraf hai. I would request that all of you just move a little ahead, because so that whoever comes in can, you know, sit comfortably. I would really like to express my gratitude to all the girls who took part in the drama. Did you all like the drama? Yes, it was nice. Yes, they really did a good job. So let us all thank them by loudly saying, Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Yeah? So they really, it was very nice, very nicely done by all of them. So today, the topic, as you all know, and Kalindi Mataji gave a very nice introduction. Of course, she has been very kind to use kind words for me. But she gave a very nice introduction on the aspect of tolerance, right? So the topic today is tolerance and impenetrable armor. So I just remember a story that we used to read in school, you know, in the primary section. I'm sure most of you have heard this story. The story goes like this. Once there was a king, and he had a minister. He was very wise, very intelligent minister. And this king, he relied very heavily on this minister's advice. He would always give him good counsel, good advice. So the king was fond of him, and he really liked him. So one day, this king and this minister were discussing something in the palace. And meanwhile, the king, as he was discussing, he was cutting some fruit for himself. You've all heard this? So what happens is that knife slips. And what happens? He cuts his finger, right? And the king is in pain. The finger is cut. It's bleeding. And he's so upset. You know, the minister runs to his aid. He helps him and, you know, take care of the wound. And the king is very upset. And at that time, the minister, he keeps telling him only one thing. He says, my dear king, don't worry. Everything that happens, happens for good. You know, it just happens for good. Don't worry. You just tolerate this and something good will happen later. So don't worry. The king was, you know, upset. We all experience this, you know, and you're in pain and someone says, yeah, achha hai, very good, you know. The king was really upset. He said, how can you talk like this? You know, what sort of a person is this? I'm in pain. And he's saying, it's all happened for good. So he was very upset. So he called the guards and he said, just arrest this man. So he got this minister arrested. You know, he was behind bars. After a few days, this king goes on a hunting expedition. He goes into the forest and he's hunting. So suddenly he's, you know, surrounded by these tribals and they are actually looking out for a human to be sacrificed. So this king is on his horse and he's surrounded by tribals. They capture him and they take him. And he's helpless. He's just surrounded by all of them. And just as they were about to behead him, they put him on that sacrificial altar. And they were about to behead him. And that time they noticed that he had one finger missing. His little finger was missing. Oh, there was an uproar saying, oh, this is not a complete man. He has something missing. So we can't take him, say, okay, now you go. We can't. So they leave him. They are sad. They leave him. He is excited. He just runs for his life. He's just saved from death. And he runs. And guess what he does? The first thing, he gallops back to his kingdom. And where does he go? To his minister. He's repenting. Oh, my minister told me that, just tolerate this pain and something good will happen, right? So he runs back to his minister. He opens his vase. He says, please come out. I'm so sorry. Whatever you said was true. That all that happens for good. He says, but I don't understand one thing. For me, it was all good. But you were behind bars for so many days. So how is it good for you? So he says, obviously, King, it's been good for me. Because if I was not behind bars, where would I have been? With you, hunting. And you were not a complete man because your finger was cut. But then I was complete, right? So instead of you, I would have been beheaded, right? So it has been good. So anything that happens, happens for good. So though it was painful, she just tolerate, right? So basically to understand that tolerance is a very, very important thread in the fabric of our life. It's our life. It's like compare it to a cloth, a fabric, then it's a very important fragment of that. So we will be dividing this topic into a few parts. And the first part, we will discuss what is the current situation. How is tolerance, what is the presence or absence of tolerance in this world right now? In this today's day and age. Right? At the outset, let me tell you something. Why we thought of this topic, especially for all of you, is because of a few incidents. Right? All of you, most of you are from Mumbai, right? Yes? So, recently, just I think when we stepped into 2010, there were a lot of suicides. Youngsters committing suicides. Yes? Yeah, every day practically. In fact, I remember reading one headline that some 14 or 15 suicides in 7 days or 8 days, right? It was so rampant. And people from youngsters from all age groups. What was the youngest age of a boy who had committed suicide? Yes? Yeah? 7? I think I heard some 8 or 9 also, right? Some school student, right? There were school students. And then there were people who are like 20, 25, but more students, right? So there were school students, college students, medical students, engineering students, different faculties. And just committing suicides. And it was so huge, so rampant that I remember at one point it seems the chief minister was so worried. He said that maybe we should form a committee to find out why this is happening. But yes, it was, there were different reasons. Some students were saying it's exam pressure. Someone was saying exam stress, exam failure, parents pressure, peer pressure, jilted love, rejected love. So many things, so many reasons, right? At the same time, in one of our reputed medical institutes, our city psychiatrists, and clinical psychologists, they were also in a, so many patients coming with whatever, just about to commit suicide, and they're setting up helplines and all that. So they had a seminar, and there was this psychologist from a very reputed medical institute in US, and he had attended, he was a speaker in this. So he spoke very nicely about this aspect of, youngsters committing suicide. And he came up with something very interesting. He said that one of the reasons why this is very rampant in youngsters is because the present generation of youngsters are completely in a state of zero tolerance. they lack tolerance to such an extent that if there is even a slight change from what they want, they just can't adapt to it. They just can't adjust to it. So they feel, oh, you know, it's not the way I want. Just forget it. I don't want to live. A human life is not worth living. That is a level of lack of tolerance in the present young generation. And this is a fact. So this is one example. A second example, you just pick up a newspaper. Any page, any time. Any newspaper. What is there? What do you read? Staple. You don't even have to open your eyes. There'll be some murder somewhere, some bomb blast somewhere, some, you know, rape somewhere, right? Some violence, some terrorist attack, some war raging somewhere, right? What does that go to show? Either it's people in the family who can't tolerate each other, or, you know, organizations can't tolerate, political parties can't tolerate each other, countries can't tolerate each other. It's basically that people can't stand each other, right? Maybe at individual level, communal level, social level, national level, international level, but the thing is the same, right? Example 3. What is the date today? 13th what? Feb. Tomorrow is? Is it important? No? Yeah? Come on. Is it of some very big importance? Oh, that Sunday feast program. But for the general mass of young people, or, you know, overall, maybe for it, against it, whatever, with all the media hype and everything, it's something in the calendar, right? Yeah, where people are busy. So, yes. So, it's at this point when someone is in love, what do they feel? Life will be very rosy. Yes? And all our, thanks to our Hollywood, Bollywood, whatever films, they say they lived very happily ever after. Yes? But is that exactly what happens? Yeah? If it was actually what happened, then why are the divorce rates just shooting up like this? You know? Alarming rise. It's just shooting up. Divorce within a week after marriage, a month after marriage, a year after marriage. Earlier, even if there are some differences, you know, the couple have some difference, they don't, you know, some, but they say, okay, it's for the kids, so let's just adjust. You know, the children are there, they'll go through the trauma, just leave it. But now, it's like, either it's my way or the highway. You be like what I want, or out. Right? Just, let's go. So that is the whole thing, you know. So these are basic examples. I mean, it doesn't require me to convince you or you to convince me that there is no tolerance. It's a fact. These examples just go to illustrate the point that there is lack of tolerance in the present world. Right? And this is something that we really need to take attention, which is required. And if you really see deeply, so many problems are because of the lack of tolerance. Yes? So we come to the second part where we need to understand why. What is the cause of lack of tolerance? Right? So first let's understand what is the definition of tolerance. Anyone? What do you mean by tolerance? Anyone? You'll not be graded as right, wrong, no marks, no one will laugh. Just say it. Anyone? Come on. Yes? Capability to keep patience. Yes, very good. Anyone else? To adjust in whatever situation. The way to success, yes. But what is the definition? You know, in physics, chemistry, and physics, when you write, All of you have written your 10th standard papers, no? 3 marks for the right definition. 1 word here, there, you lose your marks, no? Yes? Yeah, but I don't want an accurate definition, yes. Sorry? Soul says something is happening wrong, yes. So basically the dictionary meaning of definition of tolerance is the power or the capacity of an individual to endure hardship, pain, or an unfavorable environmental condition. Anything like that, when he's able to endure, that is called as tolerance. Right? So now we are talking of how to have the solution, how to have tolerance. Right? But before we know how to get the solution, we should know what is the cause. Correct? Just like a person enters medical college, the first day or the first year, you're not taught how to treat a disease. You're never taught how to treat a disease, right? The first year is completely spent understanding what is a normal thing, right? The second year, you're taught what is abnormal. And the third year, last year, is how do you treat the abnormal, right? So same thing, if we want to know how to get a solution for tolerance, we should know what is lacking, what is a problem. So where do we consult? Now there are many, many sessions, many forums all over the world which are organized about tolerance and many organizations talking about it. But essentially, all of them come to the conclusion, this is my opinion, or this is your opinion, right? But today, this discussion that we will be having for the next few minutes will not be on my opinion or your opinion or, you know, someone else's opinion. Okay? We will go to the person who has actually created this world. Right? Our opinion doesn't make a big difference. But the person who's actually created, right? The creator will be able to give us what is the exact problem. Right? Where are we lacking? Right? So, just like, where does the creator give his opinion? Where can we find it? Yes? The scriptures. The scriptures are the word of God. Just like any gadget, when you buy, you have a manual, correct? The manual gives the information about the gadget, correct? So if you want to know anything about the gadget, where should you consult? The manual. So similarly, if we want to know anything about this creation, about this material world, then we need to consult the manual. And the manual is a scripture. And today we will consult the Bhagavad Gita. So what does the Bhagavad Gita say about tolerance? So in the Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, there is a very, very beautiful verse. It's 2.14, where the verse is, Matra sparshastu kaunteya shitoshna sukha dukkhada agama payino nityas tam titikshasva bharata. I'll read the translation first. Please listen very attentively. And then we will all repeat it. Yeah. And as you repeat, see that you hear every word attentively. It gives a lot of things. Yes. A lot of understanding. O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course of time are like the appearance and disappearance of the winter and the summer seasons. They arise from sense perception. O Scion of Bharata, one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. Yes, we'll repeat. O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course of time are like the appearance and disappearance of the winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception. O Scion of Bharata, one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. Yes? So there are many things which the Lord explains in the Bhagavad Gita, yeah, about tolerance. So this verse itself, it's a major thing. We will try to understand this in a systematic way. So for today's understanding and discussion, we will discuss four principles. How many? Four principles. Okay? Now these four principles are from the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, and they are important because if we want to understand what is tolerance, then we need to understand these principles. Okay? These four principles. They're not many, four. Right? And if we don't understand and don't follow these four principles, then we will not be able to develop real tolerance. Yes? So you will understand what is the cause of the lack of tolerance as we go through the four principles. Okay? So the first principle, as we've understood from this verse, is that tolerance is a must for everyone. There is no choice, because this world where we are in is full of dualities. Yes? It's a must. There is no choice. There's no category beyond which there's no tolerance. You know, you earn so much, so you can be okay, you don't need to tolerate. Or you've got a PhD, so you don't need to tolerate. Or, you know, nothing like that. It's a must. Anyone living in this world has to tolerate. So that's why Lord Krishna is saying, just tolerate. He doesn't say you tolerate or she or no. Everyone, just tolerate without being disturbed. So tolerance is a must for everyone. Why? Because the world that we live in is full of dualities. Okay, so what do we mean by dualities? Dualities means there's always something else. There is happiness, there will be sadness, distress. There is victory, there will be defeat, right? There is health, there will be good health, disease, right? There will be, everything has its own opposites. There are other sides happening at the same time. Why? It is just like a coin, right? You have a coin. Everyone knows a coin, right? You have a head side and a tail side, right? So you can't say that, you know, I'll take the head side, but I don't want the tail side. You don't have the coin. Correct? If we need the coin, then we have to have both sides. So that is the way the world is designed. Both go hand in hand. Both the sides of the coin are there in this material world, and that is duality. Right? Now the best part, the most funniest part about this duality is that if there is something, some object which makes us happy now, at this point of time, but after some time, the same object may be the cause of our distress. Like just now we are all sitting in this air-conditioned, temple hall. Like the air condition, right? And it's hot. Switch on the AC, you know. It's so nice, right? But now if you give that AC to people who are in Kashmir, yeah, it's snowing. And you say, no, sit, it's very nice. Sit, let's run, right? Just put it off, yeah? So the object may be giving us relief at one point, but the same thing can give us distress at another. This is just a gross example, but this is to say that point, right? So duality is there. Anywhere we go, any part of the world, it's not that when I go to US, duality doesn't act, right? Or I go here, duality doesn't act. It acts, it's there. That's what the Lord is saying. This appearance and disappearance of happiness, distress, it will come, it will go, right? So that is a fact. But the problem lies that the present day and age, we have made up the world in such a way that, as Kalyani Mataji said, the basic underlying is just don't tolerate. Just change. You don't like something? Change. Change, right? It's too hot, put on the AC. Don't wait. It's too cold, put on the heater. If you're getting old, don't worry. Your hairs are graying, go, color it. And if you don't want to color, people are around, "Hare, kyun nahi kala kiya, no? Your hair is graying. You have a gray hair there." Right? You've got wrinkles, erase it. Put this injection, put that Botox, you know, so many things. Do it. Huh? Just now. You don't have money? Don't worry. There are big billboards all over. Take loans. Right? Change. Don't tolerate that situation. Just change. Instant. Immediately. Instantly. Press a button, do it. Right? And we are all used to it so much. Right? Instant. Everything should be instant. Instant tea, instant noodles, instant gulab jamun. Instant, you know, you see the supermarket, instant stall goes fatafat, you know. Everything else, because everybody wants instant, right? Instant communication. Immediately, pick the cell phone, just talk, right? Immediately. Instant. Everything has to be instant. And the minute you don't get across, or, you know, something doesn't go instant, what happens? What happens? Frustration, right? We're frustrated. Now, I remember I was just sitting in the train and there was this girl sitting across. She was trying some number, some of her friends. And it was going on, and probably it was coming, not reachable, unavailable. Yeah. And she was so frustrated. I feel like throwing my cell phone because I can't get across. And that also in a span of maybe a minute or two, right? Instant. We want everything instant. But this instant, we may achieve with objects to a huge extent. But the problem is that we get so used to this instant, right? Just trying to remove that duality and instant, that we apply that same instant thing to people and relationships. Don't tolerate. Change. Right now. Anyone, husband to wife, wife to husband, children, people around us, change, instant. It doesn't happen, right? It doesn't happen because they are not objects. It's human, it's people and relations, but it doesn't work. And what happens? Frustration. And that is what the modern, culture, the setup that we are living in. We're so conditioned that we want to erase the duality. Right? But against this Vedic culture, what does the Vedic culture say? Tolerate. Right? Tolerate. I remember when we were small, we would go to our native place, you know, the village, and there would be no electricity. They would all be, you know, evening time, there's a lantern, and people are happy. They just cook and everything, and everybody takes rest. But now, we're so used to it. Even 15 minutes, if there's no electricity, how is it? You know, no light, no fan. How will I sleep? How will I do this? And how will I see the computer? I have to check my mails. My cell phone is not charged. Right? So much anxiety. Because we're so used to this conditioning of, you know, change. Don't tolerate, just change. Right? And all the more, as the newer and newer generation come, it's not their fault. Right? We are training them with the same motto, the same philosophy. Right? So how will they ever learn to tolerate? It's not possible. So anything is not the way they want, forget it. You know, not worth living. Yeah? Just commit suicide. Yes? So this is the first principle. What is the first principle? Loudly. Tolerance is a must for everyone because this world is full of dualities. Clear? Second, the second principle is that we are not this body, but we are the spirit soul. I am not this body, I am the spirit soul. That is what this Bhagavad Gita teaches. Right? That you are not this body. And sadly, the whole world runs and is working on this philosophy that I am this body, I am American, I am Pakistani, I am Indian, right? We identify so much with this body. So anything happens to our bodily, anything happens to, you know, Indian, someone says again Indian, blood starts boiling. How dare? I am Indian, you know. Huh? Yeah, we're identifying so much. We belong to this caste. Someone says, oh, you can't. Right? Because we are identifying with this body. But we are not this body. The body is temporary. It is just a covering for the spirit soul. And we are the spirit soul. And the spirit soul is eternal. It's full of knowledge. Full of bliss. Because we are identifying with this body, everybody is identifying with everybody. You know, this country against this country, and all people of that group against each other. I, me, and mine. You know how the dog identifies, no? This is my area. How dare you enter, you know? Ho, ho, ho. Don't come. Right? Just don't tolerate, right? So this is the second. Because we forget this principle, that we are not the body. We are the spirit soul. That is the second principle why there is lack of tolerance. The third principle is, in the scriptures it explains that this material world, that is this world that we are living in, is dukkhalayam asashvatam. Dukkhalayam means full of miseries and temporary. Yes? And we are not able to control much. We can control to some extent our future by how we do today. Now, our activities today, we can control our destiny to some extent in the future. But beyond that, there's no control. Right? So miseries will come. And if we say, I'll be here, but I won't get sufferings or I won't get miseries, it is like saying that I will get into the sea, but I will not get wet. Is that possible? Yeah? Is that possible? Anyone can do it? We can try out. There's an ocean close. Yes? Is it possible? No. Right? So what are the miseries? What are the sufferings in this world? It's explained in the scriptures that there's Adi Daivik sufferings. Adi Daivik is natural calamities. Right? And we don't have a say in it at all. There's an earthquake. Anybody takes an opinion poll? Should there be an earthquake or no? Which area? Does it happen? There were floods, right, in Bombay, Mumbai, some years back, 2006, July, right? So there were these floods, and still people who actually, you know, survived those floods, you think of them, it's scary. You know, immediately nowadays, whenever there is an announcement that there'll be heavy rains, nobody goes to work. People come half day, whatever, but we don't want to be stranded. Right? But did anybody ask, should it be done? Should it not be done? Can we stop the rain? Is the rain? No, nothing. It's beyond our control. Floods, earthquakes, droughts, famines, natural calamities, these sufferings will come. Right? Doesn't matter whether your US, you know, hurricane doesn't come in US. No, there was huge. Yeah? So, without any discrimination for everyone. Right? The second type of suffering is adibhautik. Adibhautik means miseries from other living entities. Beyond our control. Can you do something? Your boss is horrible. Can we do anything about it? Nothing. My professor is terrible. Nothing. I have a neighbor who's absolutely insensitive. And screams just when I am about to sleep and puts on loud music. Sleep is disturbed. Can you do anything about it? No. You're just harmlessly driving your car very nicely. You safely park. And who comes? Drunken driver. Very rampant. Bangs. Miseries by other living entities beyond our control. Right? You travel in a train, not doing anything to anyone. The terrorist keeps a bomb. Is it under our control? No. So this is adibhautik miseries. Applicable to everyone. And we have to just tolerate. Right? And other misery is adhyatmik. That is miseries caused by our own body and miseries caused by our mind. Yeah? Our own body. What are the miseries? As birth, as death. Nobody wants death, but it comes. Doesn't spare anyone, right? Old age. Who wants old age? No one. Yeah? Disease. Nobody loves, oh, let me have some disease. No. but comes. And then the misery is by the mind. This is something which I would like to, you know, elaborate a little. What is it that causes miseries in the mind? Anyone? Jealousy is one thing. Yes, insecurity. Sorry? Expectations. And? Sorry? Misunderstandings. Yes. Not satisfied. Yes. So essentially, very nice answers. It's essentially, it comes to, the scriptures explain that the mind gives us so much misery because of the presence of six enemies. Now, anyone knows them? Six enemies. They're all there. Don't have to search for these enemies anywhere. Don't even need to go to Afghanistan or whatever, LET or whatever, TTT, whatever it is. They are there, but you don't have to go to search for them. They're all here. Who are the six enemies? Yes. Lust, anger, pride, envy, and greed and illusion. Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsar. These enemies are there right here. And they are the one tormenting us. We may run away to the most secluded place, the deepest cave in the Himalayas. I don't want to be with anyone. You know, I'll just be in my... Yes. But still, they are there with us. They don't spare. Yeah. And if we succumb to their demands without tolerating, then we are like a puppet. You have to just dance. To these urges, if we succumb to one of them, then it's a vicious cycle. One after another after another. That's how severe these enemies are. And they are right here. That's what is explained. Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Dhyayato Vishayan Pumsam Sangastesho Pajayate. That is, when a person contemplates on some sense object, immediately starts developing attachment. And from attachment, lust. Lust not satisfied, anger. From anger, delusion. From delusion, memory gets bewildered. From memory getting bewildered, intelligence is lost. And back again, we are into the material pool. So these six enemies are very, very powerful. Yeah. So we'll just quickly see some examples of present day, you know, how people succumb to these six enemies without tolerating, you know, without being undisturbed with their demands, if we have to just tolerate them. But if we succumb to their demands, they destroy us completely. Yeah. Lust, very common, right? Though it is glorified, the movies, media, they say, oh, no problem. Just do it. You feel it, do it. Feel like it, do it. But it can be destructive. Completely. Yes? Recently, there was this, one of the richest sportsmen in the world, you know, extremely talented. Yes? And with so many sponsorships and all over the world, he was very famous. And he just couldn't control lust. So there was all these, you know, so many people, so many extramarital affairs, one after another, after some 13, 14, 15, I mean everybody, and everything was destroyed. His career sponsor said, now we don't want him. Everything just destroyed completely. Lust, anger. Some years back, there was this incident. You know, there was a doctor couple in Bombay. And this husband and wife, both doctors, they had some argument. Both got angry. Very angry. So what did they do? They succumbed to that enemy of what? What? Anger. Correct? So, upset, angry, screaming at each other. And suddenly, the husband, in a fit of rage, they had an infant baby. Just picked up the baby and he took it to the window. And he said, if you don't listen to me, I'm going to drop this baby right now. Can you imagine? He's a doctor. He knows what are the consequences you know, dropping the baby like that out of the window. Huh? Intelligence lost. Right? That's what Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita. Lost. He's angry. He's saying, I'll drop. And she, even she knows what's going to happen if the baby goes down. Right? What did she say? She was also a victim of anger. She said, do it. I don't care. And what did he do? Did it. And then as the baby was going down, he realized, what had he done? What had he done? A victim of that enemy of anger. And he was so shocked, he himself jumped from the window, committed suicide. She was devastated. Just by that moment of succumbing to that enemy of anger and without tolerating that urge, everything destroyed. Greed, every day we read in the papers, this scam, that scandal, people taking money, Supreme Court judge taking money, someone is going to give judgment, is taking money, right? Some computer company creating a fraud, all this greed, right? You just are not able to control the tendency for greed. Envy. This is very common, envy. Even if we have 100 things, but someone else has one thing better than us, it burns. Right? It burns. Why not me? It's so painful. Right? Yes? You all experience this? And the same envy, on a bigger scale, is the cause of all this racism, sectarianism, fanaticism, what we see all over the world. It's the same thing. It's on a bigger scale. Why? Because it all stems from pride. Pride and envy go together. Okay? It's hand in hand. So we are proud. I am a Hindu. I am great. So my religion is great. Yes? So no one can be more greater than me. I hate them. I am white. I am great. Or I am black. I am great. So I don't want this. It all stems from that. The cause is right there. So pride, envy, illusion. Illusion is to have, think something which is not real as real. You're so engrossed in something which is illusory, which is not real at all. Right? We see the Hollywood movies. This is life. This is what it should be. And if in our house it doesn't fit, useless. My life is useless. Yes? People are so much into illusion. There are so many incidents when some two cricket teams are playing and if one team loses, there are incidents of people going and committing suicide. India-Pakistan match, so many people committed suicide. Why? Because India lost. Alright? But what difference does it make to you? Right? The team is losing. The team has no problem. They get their cricket money and they go off. You lost your life. Right? But this is illusion. Right? You think what is not real to be real. And that all stems from the point that we forget that we are not the body. So these are the six enemies. And the best part of these six enemies who are there in our right with us is that we don't even recognize them as enemies. Right? No session, no workshop, no forum, no institute, no university will tell us, hello, these are your enemies. No, everyone glorifies. Oh, you feel lusty? Do it. You feel this? Do it. Yeah, it's true. Right? Do you agree with me? It's only when we come to an assembly where we discuss scriptures, that's when they talk about, Kama Krodha Lobha Moha Madha Matsarya. Yes? Anywhere else? Anybody else talks about it? No. That is the saddest part. But it's a fact. This is the third principle. Right? And the fourth principle is the greatness of a person can be estimated. This is what Kalindi Mataji said. How do you estimate the greatness of a person? Not by how many awards he's got, or how beautiful she is, whether she's Miss India, Miss World, whatever, Miss College, Miss Jai Hind, whatever. Or someone who has so many followers on her blog. So great person. No! The greatness of a person, this is what Srila Prabhupada explains in scriptures, the greatness of a person is estimated by his ability to tolerate provoking situations. Can we all repeat? The greatness of a person is estimated by his ability to tolerate provoking situations. And what we all spoke about all this while, the six enemies and all the things, other miseries, are all what? Provoking situations. And at that point, how we are without getting disturbed is what estimates one's greatness. Yes? So these are the four principles. Yes? Can we repeat the four principles? What is the first principle? Tolerance is a must because this material world is full of dualities. Second, we are not this body, but we are the spirit soul. Third, material world is full of sufferings. And the main thing in the suffering is those six enemies sitting inside. Right? And fourth, the greatness of a person is estimated by his ability to tolerate provoking situations. So these are the four principles. Now you may ask me, the principles are very great, but are there people who actually live by these principles? Are there any examples? Huh? Or are you just talking some theory? So we name this as, the title is Tolerance and Impenetrable Armor. Armor is called as a kavach. Right? So what does a kavach do? It protects you from anything attacking. Right? So yes, there are innumerable examples in the scriptures of people who have this principle of tolerance. One you saw in the drama, that was Srila Haridas Thakur. Yes? He was beaten in 22 marketplaces. But what was he praying during those 22 marketplaces? He was just praying that, my Lord, please forgive them. Please forgive these torturers. Please don't, just forgive them. So forgiveness is a very, very important aspect of tolerance. Tolerance cannot happen without forgiveness. The same Haridas Thakur, another incident in his life was when he was in a place called Benapol, which is now in Bangladesh. And at that time, there were some people who were envious of Haridas Thakur. So they sent a prostitute so that they could tarnish his reputation and tempt him with lust. So this prostitute came to Haridas Thakur where he was sitting and chanting. And she tried for 3 nights, to tempt him. But just because he was so sincere, so dedicated, and he had conquered that enemy of lust, he didn't succumb to it. He tolerated it. And in fact, at the end of the third night, that prostitute started chanting Hare Krishna. Yes, this is the example. What a sincere personality can do. This is a real example. The second example, Jesus Christ. Everybody knows Jesus Christ? Yes. An amazing personality, right? The Son of God. So when he was beaten and was crucified, what was he praying? Anyone? Yes. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Yes? They do not know what they're doing. Right? Someone asked Jesus Christ, if someone offends me once, you say tolerate, but what about someone offends me 7 times? He says, you tolerate and forgive 7 times 7. Tolerate others if you want to be tolerated. Yes? Forgive others, for you will be forgiven. So these are personalities. Yes. Prahlad Maharaj. So in Bhagavatam, we hear the story of Prahlad, 5-year-old child. He was tortured by his father. Why? Because he was worshipping Vishnu. Right? It's almost so much of physical torture. But through it all, he just relied on the Supreme Lord. That was his kavach. That armor. Undisturbed. And when the Lord appeared for him as what? As Lord Narsimhadev. And this is an incarnation of the Lord specifically for one person. One person. Imagine, tomorrow the Lord appears just for me. What will be? Oh, wow. Just see. I'm so great. But is that what Prahlad said? No, just see my father. And everybody knows the Lord came only to save me. No, he didn't succumb to that enemy of pride. Right? No. And what was he, what did he pray to Lord Narasimha there? He said, please forgive my father and liberate him. After that person had actually tortured him for so long. That is tolerance. So you may say, oh, these are all examples which is very long back, you know, scriptures. Yeah, but are there any present day examples? Yes, there are many. In fact, there are many examples, but on the most powerful personalities who is an example of this tolerance is Srila Prabhupada. He's the founder Acharya of ISKCON. And he is an amazing, amazing example of tolerance. At the age of 70, yes, just see your, you know, relatives or grandparents who are 70. You know, how is it like to be 70? Yeah, it's very painful. Your body is, you know, in such a horrible, it's very painful to get your body to do something, right? But Prabhupada, when he was 70, he actually went to the West on a cargo ship. For what? For what? There may be many people who go to the West at 70. That's not a big thing. But for what? And on the way, he had these heart attacks. There was no one with him to take care of him. You know what it is to have an heart attack, right? So many people have it. You need so much help. He was alone. 70-year-old man on this cargo ship, all alone, with no help. And he was not going to the West, to US to, you know, start some business or make some money. No. Or had some relatives there, so just to spend some good time there. No. He was just going there with all this hardship, tolerating this entire ordeal for all of us. So that today we can all sit together and talk and discuss. People like you and me can talk about the scriptures. We can understand what is real knowledge. Yes? He went through all this. He tolerated all this. And even when he went to US, there was nobody waiting for him. Chalo, chalo, Swamiji, come. You know, there's everything ready. He had a struggle. It was a struggle. A huge struggle. In fact, at one point, he had to tolerate people with so many sinful tendencies. They didn't have any culture. He had to tolerate them, love them, nurture them, train them to become pure Vaishnavas. Pure followers of the principles of Bhagavad Gita. It's not an easy task. And when he started off in New York, he was alone. He was doing everything. Cooking for them. With no help. In fact, after quite some time, they came back realizing, oh, he's 70. Maybe he needs some help. So they came back saying, Swamiji, do you need some help? And he said, yes. I was waiting for this day when you would ask this question. Until then, he just tolerated it with a grateful heart that at least they are coming to receive Krishna's mercy. That is tolerance. That is something called a selfless endurance. No desire for the self. That is Srila Prabhupada. So, now that we've understood the four principles, we know there are examples, the question automatically is, how do I do it? Right? What is a practical application? Right? So the first thing is that we develop knowledge. When we are ignorant, you can't help it. Right? The first thing is to develop this knowledge. So you've already taken the first step by coming and trying to understand what is it? What is tolerance? Right? So the first step is already achieved. Right? Now, how do I apply it? So how to apply? I just want you to remember four examples. How many examples? Four. First is an ocean. Second is a tree. Third is a building. And fourth is a lotus flower. Yes? Everyone is clear? What are the four examples that you will remember? Even if you forget the entire lecture after you leave this room. But please remember these four examples. Because these, you don't have to go to search for an ocean. Just cross the road, you'll find the sea. Trees are everywhere. Buildings are everywhere. Lotus flower you can easily find. Right? So, the ocean first. In the Bhagavad Gita itself, Lord Krishna explains in the second chapter that just like how the ocean, you know, during rainy season, lot of rivers flow into the ocean. Correct? Huge stream of rivers. But does it mean that the ocean is, you know, disturbed, overflowing? No. At the same time, during summer, the rivers are become very thin streams. Right? Does it mean the ocean suddenly sinks? No. The ocean is still, undisturbed. Right? Why? Why is it so? Anyone? Why? Because the ocean has volume. It has depth. Right? So it's not disturbed. Similarly, we, if we are like that ocean, that is, our consciousness has depth, filled with real substance, then things, these desires will come. It's not the desires stop coming, temptations stop coming. No, they will come. But then we are able to tolerate because we have the depth of substance in our hearts. Yes? So that is the example of the ocean. The second example, and in the ocean also, if we are having the depth, then we will not search for happiness outside. Huh? Because you have depth of consciousness, happiness is internal. It cannot be brought by objects, collection, accumulation. Oh, if I have so much, I'll be happy. No. The depth of the ocean teaches that happiness is within. Yes? That's the first thing. Second, tree. The scriptures explain that we have to be more tolerant than a tree. Yes? Why? You've seen a tree? How the tree stands? In its scorching sun, it still stands and gives shelter to others. Right? When it's chilling cold, still standing and giving shelter to others. Yes? Selfless service. Right? Selfless endurance. Srila Prabhupada, just like that. So much of torture for his body, so much of pain, but continued to serve for the welfare of others. That's what a tree is. So it doesn't get affected by the things happening to this body. And when the tree, people eat the fruit of the tree and also cut the branches. Right? When we do something good, we expect at least that person will do something good back to us. Right? Expectation. Right? Yes, someone said? The cause of misery is expect. Yes, because we expect itna kiya, something ill, you know. Not that he will harm me. Right? But the tree, it endures that. Right? We take from it and cut it. Yes? So this is the example of the tree. So first was the ocean, second is a tree. The third is a building. You've all seen buildings. What is the most important part in a building? The foundation. Do you see the foundation? No. We don't see the foundation. But it is because of this foundation that the building stands. The stronger the foundation, the building will withstand all the storms. Right? Any turbulence, any storm. But if the foundation is weak, however attractive the building may be, even the little strong wind and the building is crumbling down. Right? So similarly, the building of our lives has to have a strong foundation. And when these storms come, these difficulties come, these problems come, and they will come. Why? What was the principle saying? Because this world is full of miseries, so they will come, right? But then when they come, because our foundation is strong, we will not crumble down. So what is our foundation? Are our principles, our values, our integrity to those values. Forgiveness, love, those are our values. And how do we develop this foundation? How do we make this foundation strong? By associating with people who are aspiring for these values, right? That's a very important thing. We hear about people who possess these values. We try to follow in their footsteps. And the most important thing to have a very strong foundation is to sincerely take shelter of the Lord by chanting His holy names. It's a very, very potent process of having such a strong foundation. And as we take shelter of the chanting of the holy names, the heart becomes cleansed. Of whom? Whom? The six enemies. We can get rid of them. There's no other way of getting rid of them. Yeah? That is the way. So that is for a building. And the last is a lotus flower. You may say, oh, what do you say is okay. But this world is so horrible. How do I sustain? Yes, it's a horrible world. People everywhere. It's so bad. So, you've all seen a lotus flower? Where does a lotus flower grow? Kichad. Yes, she's right. Kichad is not a very good word, but it's true. Yes? But how is it so beautiful? Though it is in that marshy, swampy area, how is it? Anyone? Why? That is one thing. But if you go back to its roots, the roots of the lotus go deep, deep, deep down into clean, fresh water. It doesn't take its nutrition from that surrounding marshy, swampy area. It takes its nutrition deep, deep down. It has roots which are deep, deep down. So we may be living in this world, which is a horrible place and so many things, but we don't take our inspiration. We don't take the values of what this world regards. We have to go deep down. And that is what the scriptures are giving. Yes? So these are four examples. What are the four examples? Ocean, tree, building, and lotus flower. So even if you forget the whole class, no problem. Just remember the four principles and the four examples. Yes? And we will end by just reciting a very beautiful verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, which is very, very beautiful and which very, very nicely explains this tolerance. The verse is from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma's prayers. Tate nukampam susamekshamanam bunjana evatmakritam vipakam ritvagvapurbhir vidadam namaste jivetayo muktipade sadayabhag. The translation is, O my dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, my words and body, is surely eligible for liberation as it has become his rightful claim. So a devotee, when he goes through all these sufferings, he doesn't get disturbed. Why? Because he thinks, these are the reaction of my mistakes of the past, the karmic reactions. But the Lord is so merciful, he has minimized it. He's grateful, he's calm, undisturbed. Just like the Pandavas, they went through so much, but undisturbed. No complaints, right? And by doing this, we have to tolerate. Either we struggle, complain and tolerate, or we smile and with a grateful heart, we tolerate. Yes? But when we smile and tolerate with a grateful heart, we attract the mercy of the Lord. And we can do something which nothing else can do. And that is, Krishna is called Ajita, unconquerable. No one can conquer him. But when one tolerates with this, with a grateful heart, one can conquer the one who is unconquerable. We can conquer Ajita. Thank you very much. Thank you for your very, very patient Your tolerance was tested by this long session, but thank you very much. Shishrada Gopinath ki jai. And I thank the organizers for giving me an opportunity to present. And I would like to thank Srila Prabhupada and his wonderful disciples, because of their tolerance, we are all here sitting and understanding this. And I would also like to thank all my God brothers and God sisters who have actually contributed to this presentation. What I have spoken is just a compilation of all their inputs. So I'm very grateful to them. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. I'm sure all of us have been completely touched by this wonderful, wonderful lecture. It was very, very enlightening, and I really want to thank